Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to that you've been able to get a little bit of spare time, dead set in the middle of the tournament there. How are you finding things initially in Auckland?
Oh, everything's been going really well over here, actually. I'm just waiting for the penny to drop. The teams have been absolutely fantastic. Competition's been going really well, and we're looking forward to the quarterfinals kicking off this evening in a couple of hours.
Now, you're there in the role of technical director. Could you just explain to the listeners what that role is all about and what you do over there at the moment?
Absolutely. So I'm over here as a technical delegate, and my role is just making sure that all the teams actually adhere to the tournament regulations, so as outlined by FIH. So just making sure that we started initially doing things like equipment checks early on in the tournament, and then as the tournament moves along, just making sure that nothing sort of untowards is going on that's outside the regulations, and then working with the technical officer and judges that are looking after the games and making sure that that all runs smoothly pitch side as we go along.
So, Tammy, how do you end up doing this in the world of hockey?
There's a lot of different pathways, but mine actually, I came through as a sports administrator. So I got involved working for Hockey WA back in, or when it was the Waha actually, back in 1999. And my role there was competitions manager. And as the competitions manager there, I actually got involved in running the local benches. And then as I sort of moved along in the years, I got a bit more experience. I had a couple of years working at Hockey Australia in the competitions role as well. And whilst I was doing that, I got the opportunity to work with a number of the best tournament directors in the world in a volunteer capacity, helping them when they were over here doing tournaments. And I really enjoyed doing that. So when I had the opportunity to continue doing this and get given the appointment in Oceania when I finished there, I took that opportunity and have ended up where I am now.
So we'll just rewind a little bit. It sounds fascinating. We've had Keely Dunn from FH Umpires on the show before, talking about different pathways and different opportunities for umpires. But obviously we all start out in the game somewhere. What's your hockey history?
My hockey history was I played at school, but that was sort of it, because I had to pick a school team to play with and decided that hockey was the way to go. And then wasn't actually much involved in hockey for a long time after that. But when the opportunity came up after I finished university to work for the Hockey Association, I thought that it was really important for me to then get back involved, since I was working in the sport. So I started playing, I took up playing as a goalkeeper. And when I started playing, I also started officiating, because I thought I had to do the appointments for the technical officials for the games in their competition. And I thought, if I'm going to be doing the appointments, I should actually find out what it's all about. So that's how I got involved. But a lot of people actually come through the umpiring pathway. So some people that the officiate are ex-umpires that decided for whatever reason they couldn't or wouldn't umpire anymore. So that's another pathway that you can follow as well.
It's interesting you say about feeling that responsibility to take the game up again. There was a couple of weeks ago, Field Hockey Canada had appointed a new media and marketing guy there, and he wasn't from a hockey background, but within 2 weeks of starting the job, he was already playing hockey.
I just think it's really important for anyone involved in a sporting organisation, whatever it is. You need to be down at the grassroots level, finding out what's happening. There's no point in sitting in the office and trying to administer a sport if you don't actually understand the sport yourself. So for me, the best way to understand it, I'm a very hands-on learner, was to get out there and play and get on the benches and find out how they worked.
I was just looking for the hallelujah sound effect there, couldn't see it.
Tammy, that's in another podcast I do, we talk quite often about how sports take on people from outside of their sport and put them into roles. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And a lot of the time it's probably because they don't have an intrinsic feel for the sport, but you've almost identified that problem yourself and taken steps to remedy it.
Yeah, thank you. As I said, it's just, it was an interest, and I just think it's important, like you say, it's just my personal feelings that it's integral to being involved in a sporting organisation that you do that.
Now, Tammy, if somebody's looking to follow the pathway that you have or something similar to get into the role that you're doing, whether that be through umpiring or tech bench officiating, can you tell us a little bit about some of the places you've visited and the things that, you know, the things that you've done through doing this role?
Oh, absolutely. I've been really fortunate and had some absolutely incredible experiences through doing this role. So at a domestic level, I've been had the opportunity to go to Port Lincoln with the Japanese team and go out on the tuna boats out there as part of an experience with a visiting international team when I got to go and do an officiating role there. I've had the opportunity to go to Fiji and New Zealand numerous times thanks to the Oceania Hockey Federation. And then more recently I've had FIH appointments where I've had the opportunity to go to Glasgow for the Commonwealth Games, Leipzig in Germany for the Indoor World Cup, and obviously Rio in 2016 was an incredible experience. And for me, previous to this, you know, most amazing appointment, and then had the opportunity to get appointed here, which was quite a bit of a shock to myself when I got the appointment, but it's been just fabulous.
Tammy, obviously hockey's taken you a lot of places and you've seen some wonderful sights, but in your role at a tournament, do you actually get to watch much hockey?
I see a lot of hockey, but I can't say I watch a lot of hockey.
Yeah, right.
So it's a really good question, and it's a conversation that we have quite regularly as a technical group. When you're out here at the game as a technical official, even if I'm not managing the game myself, so the team on the bench will tell you that they couldn't tell you what happened in the game other than when the goals were scored, substitutions were made, corners were called, and those sorts of things, because you're so focused on your role within a game at a tournament that you don't really get to see the game as a whole. You're really concentrating on making sure that you do your job right. And I've been fortunate in this role that I have had much more opportunity to actually sit back and watch the games and get a good feel for what's going on. But depending upon your role you play at a tournament, that is a very good question, because I know that the judges and TOs are involved in the game down pitch side are just intent on actually doing their job, so don't often get the opportunity to get the enjoyment out of the whole game as much.
Now, you mentioned before getting an FIH appointment. What does an FIH appointment look like? When do you find out about a leading to a tournament like this? Do you get a letter hand delivered? Is it a telegram?
Well, the pathway to come through, you start off, so I guess I have to take a step back to be able to answer that question. So when you actually start officiating, most people generally start at their local level, and then if they're identified as someone that looks like they've got the skills, they then get the opportunity that the state association should nominate them to the national associations, and then hopefully they get national appointments. From then, you get the opportunity for appointments through your continental federation. So for us, that was Oceania. So it's sort of a bit of a process that you go through. So then from my appointments with the Oceania, every time we go to a tournament at that level, at a continental federation level, we get a report, and the report gets sent back to FIH, and sort of like a grading report, really. And once you get enough good grading reports, you hopefully make it onto the FIH panel, which is where I am now. And then once you're on the FIH panel, FIH has a competitions committee and an officiating committee, and those committees are then involved in making the appointments. And we get a fabulous email delivered into our inboxes saying, congratulations, you've been appointed to. Are you willing to accept or able to accept this appointment? So you never know when it's going to happen, and it's really quite exciting when it does.
Tammy, how much training or education are you put through before you're accepted for these roles?
A lot of it's on-the-job training and doing things like that. So in terms of training now, we have within state and national organisations, we run training courses. So that's something I participated in when I was coming through. The pathway I came through was slightly different because most of mine was on the job training as such, working with the technical delegates themselves, seeing how they ran the tournaments, how they communicated with people and things like that. I now work with other technical officials to run training courses. So we had one in Western Australia, where I live, earlier this year. We ran a level 2 training course. We have 3 levels that we can run. The level 2 is sort of training people what they need to do if they are running national championships or involved in the technical bench at national championships. And then we get the opportunity to move on from there. And so I've been over and run a training course in New South Wales as well. So you get the theory course in those, and then a lot of it is actually the practical, being there, having the opportunity to do it, having people give you feedback.
So in your role at the moment now, specifically at the Hockey World League Finals, are you one of these people that's providing feedback and doing the report forms for other guys there?
Yes, I am. So at the end of the tournament, I'll be providing reports back on the officials that I've worked with. But I've got just such a fantastic group here that I was really fortunate that I've worked with all of them before. And I'm really even more so fortunate that I've got Sheila Brown over here with me, who was the technical delegate for the women at the Rio Olympics. So she's been really fantastic working with myself and the team as well. And between us, you know, we've had a great time and been able to give feedback from different perspectives as well to the girls that we're working with.
Tammy, as a spectator, when I turn up to a game, I assume that the players warm up before the game. I see them do a bit of a warm up and then they play the game, and that's all. I expect that, and I assume that goes on. What about you guys? What do you do pre-game? Is there some sort of, you know, training thing that you go through to prepare, or are you busy with documents and making sure everything's signed and sealed?
Yeah, good question. There's actually not an awful lot we do before the game as such. So before the game, our main role is just making sure that the teams have entered their information correctly into their paperwork. So internationally now we run off a system called TMS, which is a live scoring system. So we need to make sure that the teams have entered their data into TMS correctly prior to commencing the match, so that they've, you know, picked 11 starting players and they have 2 goalkeepers for the game and they've named a captain and those sorts of things. So that's really all we do before the game. We're down there making sure that the clock's set up and the timing's right. But there's not a lot of work we need to do beforehand. It's all during the game, and then we just sort of always have a bit of a debrief at the end of the game. Was there anything unusual that happened and anything anyone picked up and wants to talk about? But over here we've been really fortunate and things have been running nice and smoothly.
Now, you're obviously away for quite a while, a time at these tournaments. I hate to ask the question, but yeah, where does the money come from? Where does the cost lie for you, and what's taken care of by the FIH or the host of a tournament?
Yeah, look, we're really fortunate. We're looked after very well. So we get all our flights and accommodation and things like that, and most of our food is covered over here in a daily allowance. So in terms of cost to me personally, I actually have to take leave. I'm a teacher, and because this tournament doesn't fall during my school holidays, I unfortunately have to take unpaid leave to come across. That's a personal choice I make, and I know that it's something that the FIH is very aware of and are very conscious of moving forward. But it depends. A lot of technical officials just take holiday leave to come away, because once we come across, it doesn't cost us anything once we're here. You know, we're pretty well looked after, and it's just a case of work-wise how we all go, depending upon how many tournaments you get a year and when they fall and things like that.
Well, it's obviously, it's a big impost, and it's a lot of time that's taken up. So there's obviously got to be some love for the game and love for the role that's taking place there.
Very much that. And it's also a case of having very supportive family networks back home. So a lot of us come away and have kids and things like that. So we do it because we love the game, and we'll continue to do it because we love the game, and we're able to do it because we've got the support around us, which is just such a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's your hats off to the family back at home.
Speaking of family, Tammy, do you ever get any advice from the old man?
Look, I must admit, the family has been touring with me two occasions now. So we're really fortunate. It just depends upon what the tournament is and where it is and the level of tournament and things like that. But to be honest, once we're actually at tournament, we're usually so busy working because even though, as I said, there's not a lot to do pre-game, we constantly have meetings and things like that, making sure that everything's going as it should be and in preparation. So we have meetings around things like shootout competitions and all those sorts of things. So there's always quite a fair bit going on around a tournament that keeps us busy.
Do you guys ever talk about players and player behaviour amongst a group of umpires? Is that something that you guys discuss and maybe, you know, keep an eye on so-and-so, they're starting to lose the plot or anything like that?
We're not asking for any individual names, no. But could you say that there are some that are maybe more notorious than others?
I'd like to say that I leave that to the umpires, and that's their job to control that on the field. But if basically there's players that are misbehaving on the field and the umpires are dealing with it, it then comes back to the technical delegate to then have to look into that. So if people are getting have got a number of yellow cards or something like that, we have to absolutely, then it's my job to pull them in and have a conversation around code of conducts and things like that. So that is one thing that the technical delegate does have to do, as well as administer the regulations. We're in charge of administering any penalties or breaches of code of conduct. So once players get a certain number of cards, as you say, if they're continually misbehaving on the field doing the same thing, need to bring them in and have a bit of a conversation and say, you know, look, this is what we see is happening and why is it happening, and it's probably not good enough.
Or to be a fly on the wall for some of those conversations. Jeez, my spine's tingling just at the thought of getting told off by you, Tammy.
Always with a smile, though.
Smiling assassin.
That's what scares me.
Tammy, we speak a lot on our podcast about the fact that hockey is a global game. How's your Chinese? How do you go with some of the foreign languages?
Unfortunately, my Chinese is not that flash, but the teams have interpreters over here, which is really good. So if we've got any issues and we need to speak to any of the teams, they've got very good translators and very good managers, and that's how we go and deal with that.
Have you found the mood of the tournament there? Have the locals been getting involved and getting into the stadium?
Oh, it's been fantastic, actually. For the home games, we've had some pretty much sell-out crowds. The first day we had a sell-out crowd, which was absolutely fantastic. And we're hoping New Zealand are playing this evening. And it's beautiful weather over here today in New Zealand, so we're hoping that we should have another full house tonight with the quarterfinals on this evening. The locals have been really, really good. The organising committee here is absolutely amazing. So we're fingers crossed for a packed house tonight.
Yeah, well, it's do or die now come quarterfinal stage, isn't it?
Absolutely, and anything can happen in quarterfinals, so we're watching this space.
We did talk last week in the show that it might be the policy for some sides to lose their three pool games and then just save it all for the first quarterfinal game. Well, we're in that situation with New Zealand now, aren't we?
Oh, goodness me. I know they've been, unfortunately, quite disappointed with how they've gone, and they will certainly be looking to turn that around this evening.
Well, they're one win away from a semi-final, really, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, they all know that they get to this time of the tournament, and they actually are. It doesn't matter what's happened before here. If they don't come out to play in the quarterfinals, unfortunately, no matter how well they've done beforehand, they miss out.
Yeah, and that's just the rub of the green. But we're all for knockout tournaments anyway. It's just rather than this, oh, you lost, oh, you get another chance, you get another chance. And it's a bit unfair for a team that finishes top of one pool and maybe wins three games to have one off game, lose out 1-0 to a dodgy decision, and that's your tournament done.
Hopefully they'd never lose out to a dodgy decision.
Oh, look, at the same time, that sort of thing is what creates mythology in the sport too. You could be a team that finishes in eighth after the pools and make the gold medal game. You could win the tournament.
Oh, look, absolutely, and you do see teams do it. So, as I said, you get to this stage and anything is actually possible. It's a whole new ball game starting in the quarterfinals. So everyone knows that it's do or die. And it's a change in mentality and things like that. So
does that creep through to the technical officials as well, that sense that the players would be feeling or the supporters and the teams would have about the cutthroat nature of it all?
It's something that we're conscious of, on how important it now becomes to all the team. But I'd like to think that our guys understand that every game is important for the teams, no matter what it is. So obviously for them now, there's a little more pressure on the teams and how they go. So we're conscious of that in terms of just trying to help out and keep things nice and calm down there. But other than that, it doesn't really affect us. You know, we've got a good team here, and at most tournaments, they've all been there, done that before. So it's another game that's just as important as the last one.
Well, it's fantastic to hear that mentality with it, Tammy. And look, the game certainly couldn't go ahead without the likes of yourselves and the team that are around you there. It plays a massively important part, certainly in delivering top level competition, but even down to, you know, club level competitions and running the bench there. And it's probably one of those unsung roles that not every player at the game quite understands, and it probably wouldn't hurt for them to know a little bit more about it.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we're always welcoming more people to come on board. We'd love to. I'm always happy, you know, to do any training and things we can. And I know that everyone around that, not even just in Australia where I'm from, but I know that all the technical officials around the world would be saying, anyone that's interested in getting into this side of it, you know, that loves the sport but maybe is an armchair player, or, you know, loves to play but just isn't good enough to get to that next level, but is interested in being able to be involved at that level, something like technical officiating is just such a great opportunity.
Yeah, it provides that alternative pathway to still be involved with the best, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Tammy, what's the end game for you as far as your roles that you're doing now? Are you happy where you are, or can you see yourself moving up? Is there other roles that you've since discovered exist and think, oh, wow, I'd like to have a crack at that?
No, I'm really fortunate. You know, I've had the opportunity to be a sports administrator and I've been a player, and where I am now is just great. Like, I know that I've still got so much to learn within the role, and I've learned a lot over the years as well, and I'm hoping that I'm at that point now where I can start imparting some of the knowledge that I've learned on others. So I don't have an end game. For me, I just love doing what I'm doing at the moment and will continue to do so as long as I'm given the opportunity. And along the way, if I can learn a thing or two and impart some knowledge on someone else as well, that will just make me happy.
Super stuff, Tammy. It sounds very inspiring, and it's great to hear. We're going to wrap things up now, and I'm just going to leave to say, look, enjoy your last few days there in Auckland, and looking forward to some fantastic games over the weekend. The podcast will be out towards the end of the week, so we'll still be in the balance when most people are listening to this. So have you got any predictions who you think might take out the tournament?
Oh, I don't know. I think, to be honest, the Netherlands have been playing extremely slick hockey, so it will be very hard to beat. But as I said, coming into the finals, anything can happen.
Yeah, you only need one bad afternoon, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, watch this space over the next couple of days.
We certainly will be.
Oh, yeah.
You should be able to catch it in most parts of the world, if not on your local broadcast provider through YouTube, whether it be for free or pay-per-view. Tammy, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to get some insight into the role, and hopefully it's a bit of interest out there for our listeners that might be keen to get involved in some of the technical jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Cheers, Tammy. You're the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.